Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that's part of this complete breakfast. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
we catch up on everything that matters, including our lives, Xbox, football, Oscars, Obama, Yo Mama, Yo-Yo Ma, Dunkin' Yo-Yos, Dunkin' Hines Cake Mixes.
And now, here are your hosts, Jarrett, Adam, and Shane.
Welcome, everybody, back to The Scope. This is episode 65 after a long, long hiatus.
Or it wasn't that long.
Or as our special guest says, 69 minus 4, because his whole world revolves around intervals of 69.
And that is the center of his universe, and it's always plus or minus from that number. That's his core.
I am Shane. The gentleman you just heard talking is Jared.
That's me.
And that slightly Jewish voice that you don't hear, that would
Worst
be Adam. He's not in today.
Worst
he is taking
ever.
A personal day.
I don't know how to do interviews.
But, you know, we've got all of Adam's greatest hits loaded into the sound bank, so...
There's two of them.
There's
Worst
two of them.
Ever.
And
I don't know how to do interviews.
That's all you get.
So if we do need to get back to Adam, we will... play those. Maybe we can fire up the Adamatic 2000 at some point. But if we don't, we'll just throw it over to our special guest, Al. You've heard him on the show many, many times. He knows a lot of things about sports and beautiful women. Al, thank you for filling in at the last second.
Mazel tov.
You're kind of like Charch on KFAN.
Oh.
Our local sports radio, where you pop in.
Al is a beautiful man.
And then Adamatic is he's already back in. I love it. That's why Jared is king of his game.
I just had to reboot him.
Reboot. It was a special button, some sort of function key. So we've been away a long time. Our last show was our special New Year's presentation, which, oddly enough, did not have Adam on it as well. He was out and about, and we tried to call him. That didn't work.
He's a man about town.
Maybe we'll get to that in the middle of the show. But, you know, oftentimes we have to schedule our show around or talk about football, and I think this is going to be no exception. Because guess what, Jared?
What's that?
Next week is the Super Bowl. So let's talk about it. Yeah! We're very lucky to have Al in studio because he crunches numbers about football.
I'm sure we'll get in trouble for using Fox's NFL team to talk about the Super Bowl that's on NBC.
NBC, but it's so recognizable, and Jared does love the robots from the Fox the Fox credits of the robot. He's either playing an air guitar or getting his head ripped off by the King.
Doing karate moves sometimes.
He does karate moves. He does the crane maneuver from Karate Kid. Uh-oh, I can barely hear Adam.
That's because I got the music going.
Never oh, my mind. Goodness. There's just way too much going on. And I want to apologize to all of our nerdy listeners who have pretty much escaped football talk all season. In previous years of The Scope, we covered football almost every show. We would talk about it. I don't know why we haven't this year, Jared. What do you think is the reason?
I think, well, we were kind of down on our team early.
Yep.
And... I don't know. In Al's... Al.
Adam, you're
Adam,
out.
Adam's team.
You are out, Adam.
Adam's team, the Redskins, had a strong start and finished rather weakly. And
That was the team that was going to go make it to the playoffs without a problem. The Vikings, really, was the team that was going to have to go through a complete overhaul, including coach, about the middle of the season. That was... At least that was my impression. So we just didn't talk about him, Jared. I think my passion for football this season has been very subdued. I've been personally so let down by our local club that I just don't put as much emotional investment into it.
You don't think that making the playoffs is a big deal, though?
It was a big deal, but you know what? Me being the pessimist that I am, I for sure thought they were going to lose against the Eagles, and I was right. And I think for the team, it was good they made the playoffs. I think for Chile to have his job, and I know you disagree with me, Jared, Brad Childress, head coach of the Vikings, I think he had to make it to the playoffs. Otherwise, I think he would have been canned.
I don't think so.
Al, what say you? You have many sources in the NFL. You talk to them regularly. You have your own blog, don't you?
Not quite, but...
he doesn't care about football.
It's just a collection of note cards he keeps by his bed.
He's got his own paper blog that he keeps under the pillow.
I think he had to get to the playoffs. So
I disagree because it's the team is built to win now, and if they didn't make it this year, they're going to switch coaches and go, we're starting over. Never mind the millions we spent.
I think Ziggy's a winner, and he would find someone, whether it's overpay for a Bill Cowher or a name quarterback. I don't think we need to replace Chili for another unproven identity.
Yeah, so. I think if you do replace him, it has to be someone who isn't a offensive line coach who formerly, worked for the Dallas Cowboys. It has to be a name, some guy that has some sort of proven track record.
It doesn't always work, though.
You're absolutely right. It doesn't always work, and you can have...
Herm Edwards kind of failed in Kansas City there. So.
And, you look at the progress the Steelers made after Cowher left,
But I think with our veteran team, we could have... With a proven coach, they can make that turnaround for a new guy faster than, like you said... A punter's coach.
Sure. So let's
the Chargers.
Let me ask this question. I'm going to throw this out to you two before we get into our Super Bowl predictions. Getting back to the Minnesota Vikings, what they have to do in 2009. The question is this: is it only quarterback, or can they win with one of the quarterbacks we have on the roster right now? We'll go to Al, who is sipping a delicious Diet Pepsi, zero calories, by the way, and a new can design for the new year. Al,
they do not need to change quarterback to be successful next year.
So you say our Travaris Jackson investment, he can win games next year for us.
He can. I would like us to upgrade our quarterback, but I don't think it's imperative.
So what does he have to do better next year? Or is it a case of maybe offensive line being a little more overrated? Our receivers being not as good as what they need to be for a guy like him? Or is it really squarely on his shoulders?
I would like an upgrade in receivers. I think that's a big one, and I think he just needs the full season of being our quarterback to get comfortable. He's got the tools. He just needs to do it.
Jared, what say you? Do you agree with that?
I think you need an upgrade quarterback. I think if you have a marquee quarterback, you don't need elite receivers. We have one elite receiver. We have others that are serviceable. I mean, when Sidney Rice is healthy, he's a good receiver. I have no issues with Bobby Wade at all. I think he's a great third receiver. And obviously, Bernard Berrien is really good when he's healthy.
Not elite.
I think he's elite, except when he's not healthy, he's hampered. And then you have the issue of the quarterback not being able to get the ball to him.
Is he an elite receiver, depending upon who the other receivers are with him? You know what I'm saying?
True, yeah.
I mean, is that part of the problem?
Elite for our team right now.
Yeah, he is the number one receiver, but let's say we pull in one more receiver who is better than what we have but not as good as him. Does that make Bernard Berrien a better?
That makes everybody. I mean, Bernard Berrien made Bobby Wade a usable receiver, because Bobby Wade is not a usable receiver on his own.
Bobby Wade's been fine the last few years. He's not been that good with the top corner on him.
Wow. Jared,
I like this. We never get this with Adam.
Never had any problems with Bobby Wade. I think he's always made his catches. He gets yards after the catch. And
too small and too slow.
I think the main problem is that you go back to every quarterback that's thrown to these guys has never been reliable in terms of what they do, especially on the deep ball. Jackson may have thrown a couple of balls when they brought him back after his hiatus that were good, but let's face it, he still struggles down the field.
Absolutely.
And you cannot count on him to make those big throws when it counts.
I agree.
That's what I think.
I think the other area...
Today. Maybe next year. I don't know.
I don't think he's going to get there, honestly. I think he's shown strides this year, but he also had his big regression in the towards the end of the season and in the playoffs, and I just don't trust that he's got that big play ability.
I do agree with Jared. At the end of the season, Jackson looked a lot more like he did at the beginning of the season, which was that deer in the headlights.
Yep.
That feel that I didn't really like.
Even when they rolled him out to kind of cut the field in half, he still wasn't making plays.
I'd say not for whole games, though.
I don't disagree with you there. I think he did drive down the field at times when he needed to. I think also part of the problem that we haven't discussed is running back play and why the Vikings don't adapt well when defensive teams are stacking the line and, we're getting dropped for loss after loss, making third downs ridiculously long.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that? I mean, is that what happens when you have an elite back who at any time can break one for 60, 70 yards? Or does there need to be more consistency on earlier downs where we're always making positive yardage, shortening the field and shortening the effort you have to make on that third down conversion?
My problem with the running game is, and it's going to be controversial because Adrian Peterson did win the rushing title this year, But I think that they rely on him too much. I mean, he's your typical explosive back in that, you know, 75% of the time he's getting 1, 2, 3 yards, maybe getting stop for loss, and then he'll break one for 30.
But he doesn't always do that in the game.
And they're always they keep him in there hoping that he's going to get that play. And then you get those times where they put Chester Taylor in there and he just consistently gets 6 or 7 yards. Yeah. I know. Sometimes I want that. I mean, sometimes the game calls for that. The other thing they need to fix is they need to get Adrian Peterson to figure out how to pass block on third down. So otherwise, it's just obvious they're going to pass. You know, sometimes maybe they want to do a run, and if they pull him out, they know that they're going to pass. I mean, it's just a clue to the defense.
And then oftentimes when you bring in Chester Taylor on third down, it's fairly obvious that he's going to be the check down guy, and eventually it's going to be thrown to him. You know, when everybody else is covered.
I'd say creativity has not been our coaching staff's strong suit.
You need to be able to mix those type of plays up.
Which is weird because sometimes they do look very creative and they're doing fun things and they're you know, catching the defense off guard, but then there's no consistency in that creativity. They're not mixing it in on a regular basis.
One last question about the Vikings.
Right side of the offensive line.
Yes. In terms of that creativity.
What should the Vikings do with their first round draft pick or free agency next year?
That's a good one.
Tackle or
taking
guard
it in my world.
For the right side of the line.
What do you think? Do you give up big draft picks to get a quarterback?
Who are you going to get? That's first of all. Who's out there that's even available?
Let's say if Castle is available.
Matt Castle's there. I think if Matt
Castle. Do you
Castle,
go for him? Do you give up a 1 and a 3?
He's not going anywhere. But I think that if type Mac, of guy, you do.
I think if Matt that Castle is available, Wilf goes after him. Whether or not they get him, I don't know. And I don't know if it's I'm really concerned that you spend that kind of money and he's going to drop into the system and it's not going to be as good.
Yeah. I think Tom Brady's going to be a Viking in 2012.
I don't think so.
They're not going to keep both of them.
Yeah, beyond, one of those guys will go away.
Beyond the quarterback at the moment, Matt Castle, who else is available? Who do you go get? You don't draft because that guy's not going to start right away.
Donovan McNabb?
He's not leaving. They've already
Brett Favre?
No. The Jets want him back. The Jets, he's either going back to the Jets or he's retiring. He's not coming here.
It's kind of the same situation with the coach. You're not just going to bring someone in to bring someone in. You're going to bring someone in that's obviously better.
Yeah. There's no one out there that you can get.
You don't bring in a question mark or somebody who has a question mark like Tavares Jackson. You bring in someone
why we draft another quarterback, and then we hopefully next year run out. You know, we end up running out. We probably have to run out T-Jack by default, and you have John David Booty and another quarterback that you draft and hope they eventually pan out.
Because Gus doesn't want to come back unless he's starting. So.
Yeah. I think Gus might be in a rude awakening.
He's still
situation.
Hurt from that shot he took. Yeah. That cheap shot he took.
I don't know. If there's no marquee guys out there other than, I guess, your Matt Castle. You start looking at backup quarterbacks. You know, Sage Rosenfels from the Texans could be on the radar again. But is he really any better than what we have now?
Question mark. And you don't give up a lot for that.
I mean, if you're bringing him in, you're bringing him to compete with T-Jack. Yeah. You're not bringing him in as the obvious starter.
So we're saying the Vikings aren't any better next year as they are this year.
Unless something clicks.
I think if they upgrade the offensive line, I think that helps.
Now, here's the good news. The good news is that you've got a Jared Allen who's now played a year with the team and is going to be productive from the first game, not after the 5 or 6 games or whatever.
And you also get back some key injured players, hopefully.
Yep.
You know, all things being
EJ Henderson will be back.
I think that you could have an even better defense, but at the end of the day, defenses help you win games, but offenses help you win championships.
There's only one position on defense we need to fix, and that's strong safety next year.
That's it.
That's doable.
Totally. So let's get to our Super Bowl predictions so we don't lose all of our listeners because they're not used to this type of talk.
Yeah.
Jared, Super Bowl in 1 week. We've got the Pittsburgh Steelers. I believe they're favored. I don't know what the spread on that is. Al, you have any idea?
Six.
Favored
six
over the Cardinals, and they are playing in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, correct?
Yep.
So let's start with Jared. He is a guy that he's a number cruncher. He thinks about these things all the time. I mean, he's a great football mind. Jared, who are you picking to win this game?
You know, I had to think about this for a while, and I really want to say the Steelers, but I just have a feeling the Cardinals, they've just been playing so insane in the playoffs. Kurt Warner is having, you know, he should have been, if he didn't have his end of the season collapse, the team didn't, he probably would have gotten the MVP award. So,
sure.
I agree with some of the sports writers I've read, if they can protect Warner, he's going to light him up. And I think the Cardinals will win.
Cardinals win
probably
the game.
By only 3, though. It'll be close.
Be a good tight game. Al, we're going to you. You also know a lot about football. You know a lot about fantasy football, basketball, girls basketball. You're a huge fan of girls basketball, and that has to come into this equation.
Yes. Not a lot, but I'm going to take the Steelers.
You think it's inevitable, the steel curtain?
17. Well, my only problem is, and this is why I've
been picking. Do I need to give a score?
This is why I've been.
You don't have to do a score.
This is why I've been picking against Arizona every week, and they keep proving me wrong, is because I can't get the Vikings game out of my head. Because I think any team
the Vikings rolled them.
Yeah. They roll.
Yeah.
Who wanted to be Kurt Warner that next Monday? He had to just been hurting, and I think Pittsburgh is creative enough on defense. Granted, Atlanta has handled Philadelphia. They've handled Carolina. But there's a reason why the NFC is the NFC, and the AFC has been the AFC this year.
But can anyone stop Larry Fitzgerald right now? He's just playing out of his mind.
Can anyone stop Troy Polamalu? The hair.
That's true. I mean, grab him by the hair and yank him out.
He might be the best player in football.
He is a game changer. Well, listen, I'm going to give my prediction. I agree with what Jared says in terms of Kurt Warner being the X factor in this game. He has proven that he can win big games. He has proven he can light you up. But I also agree with Al.
Ben Roethlisberger. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but
Roethlisberger had a terrible Super Bowl last time he was there.
I think that there's a dynamic to Kurt Warner that it's an intangible that's very hard to stop when he's on his game. That's just what I think he's proven over the years. But I also think there is a bit of an inevitability with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, this is a team that will just eventually smother you with doing all the little things right and making the big play when it matters. And I think that might be an issue for the Cardinals. So while my heart is with the Cardinals, because I always like to cheer for the team that's never won the Super Bowl, I'm picking the Steelers to win probably by 10 points.
Wow.
That's just my opinion. If I am proven wrong, thank God, and I say go Cardinals. What do you think of that?
Will you give me 10? I will take Arizona with 10.
I don't even know what that means. I don't understand the spreads. I'm just saying I think that it'll be 10-point. It'll be a 10-point game. I think that it may be close, but I think at the end of the day, the Pittsburgh pulls it out and makes it a wider
margin. Become the winningest team in the Super Bowl era.
And I love their coach, and I wish that he was the Vikings coach. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So guess what, guys? We've talked now 16 and a half minutes about football. I apologize to our listeners. No more football talk the rest of the show.
Or a year.
Or the year, probably. Yeah. We'll be done.
We'll be back to it.
Maybe we'll start talking in August. So if you are a sports fan, thank you for listening. If you're not, please continue to listen. We've got our catch-up show. We haven't been around in a while. There's a lot of things that are happening in the world.
Like Heinz?
We've got, pardon me?
Like Heinz?
Heinz ketchup?
Yeah.
Wow, where's Adam? Adam doesn't get that sound effect very often.
Worst you ever.
We're going to be talking about a little bit of politics. I know we try to swear off that, but I think that with the historic event that's happened, we've got to at least cover that. Jared, sure. Al, and I have things just in life we want to talk about, and we want to bring that to you in episode 65 of The Scope. So stick around. We'll be back right after this.
Once again, it's time for another edition of The Scope, female genitalia euphemism of the day. Today's euphemism is Knots Landing. That was The Scope, female genitalia euphemism of the day. Now, back to the show.
There is nothing more than I like than when Jared pulls out all the classic sound bits from Scope's past, and this is no different. You can tell by that sounder that we are delving into a coverall, if you will. It's kind of like bingo. When you go with Grandma to bingo, they have that round. It's called the coverall. We're covering everything here at the Scope today. A lot of topics on my list. We'll just start buzzing through them and get to them as soon as possible. If we don't, we'll save them for another show. The first thing I want to talk about, New Year's Eve fallout. And
Fallout?
Not Fallout. I just want to I want to cover maybe what Al did for New Year's Eve to get a slice of how the real people live, and then maybe Jared and I can talk a little bit about what happened with us during his New Year's Eve party and how we recovered from it.
Boy, that was really gay.
that happened about 3 a.m. But Al, let's get to you. What did you do for New Year's? We didn't talk to you or anything. I was thinking about calling you because that's part of what we did on the show. We called random people, and I just didn't get to your number.
I went out to dinner with my wife and friends from out of town. We went to Loring Pasta Bar down in Dinkytown.
So was it
never
hopping?
Been there.
Had to have a reservation that night.
Sure,
so I would guess I would deem it hopping.
I lived kitty corner to the Loring Pasta Bar.
Okay.
For many years.
I like that. area right in there.
It's a very interesting place for people that don't know. Dinkytown is like a little mini city within Minneapolis that's just north of
so,
the...
Shane, you're saying a Dinkytown is a mini city.
Thank you. I just kind of broke it down. I'm like a thesaurus. But it's just north of one of the campuses of the University of Minnesota, so it's definitely got a college vibe to it. In recent years, they've gone a little more corporate, where it used to be small little businesses that were locally owned.
It's all chains now.
Now it's chains and not a, it's very homogenized. But still, you know, for the kids that are down there, it's something that's different, and it's kind of fun to hang out. There's a lot of bars.
Easy to get to off the freeway. Nice for us commuters.
So you guys went there. You had a little pasta. I had events catered by them. I've loved it.
Yep.
And after that, did you just get your drink on? Were you drinking whiskey and Coke?
We went to another friend's house. There's probably 10, 12 of us. Played some games.
Drinking games? Beer pong?
We played that loaded questions game that usually starts off kind of safe with this group of people and then turns into mildly to strongly perverted
a shouting
answers.
Match?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You weren't playing Scruples, were you?
No.
I've heard that Scruples ruins friendships, ruins lives.
No, we did not get into that one.
Okay.
I did not.
We're going to be playing Scruples on this show at some point, Jared. I'm going to steal some of that. We're going to play that game.
Okay.
Because I want to be angry at you.
Very, I don't know why you even asked me about my night, because it was very boring.
You didn't get wasted. You weren't drinking a lot. Anybody get wasted? Any embarrassing moments?
No, not so much. Just, like I said, some inappropriateness that I'll not talk about on air.
That's why you're here, to talk about this stuff.
Oh, my.
We're not involved nakedness?
No, just, you know, my one...
Nobody ever listens to the show.
My one friend made fun of Dick Clark and started talking like him, and he says it's okay to... He can rip on Dick Clark because
his dad had a stroke. And by your one friend, you mean you, right?
Yeah. He said his reason he can rip on Dick Clark is because his dad had a stroke, so we all...
So it's okay.
Yeah. It's okay to do that.
So, like, I can make fun of fat guys because my dad's fat.
There we go.
Ah.
I wonder what I can make fun of.
My dad died from cancer, so I can make fun of all cancer people,
you can
right?
make fun of
is that how that works?
Yeah.
Well, we're really going into that very light comedy area, aren't we? We're doing all sorts of fun stuff. Yeah. Well, Al, I think Adam would have had better stories, so we'll...
I packed up my dreidel that night. And
I think Adam actually fell asleep early.
Did he really?
I'm not sure. Yeah. He was... Adam's been so busy spending time with his lady friend that he can't put any effort in for us. But Jared and I, you know, we did an experiment. I don't know if you listened to the show, the New Year's Eve show. But, you know, normally we have some sort of plan bit or something going on where we're involving all the other people that are at the party. This year, not quite as much. We just decided we were going to do a time lapse of the show. So we'd come back every hour or so, every 2 hours. And
Random intervals
and, you know.
Check your levels of drunkenness.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, I don't know about Jared, but I drank a decent amount during the night, but I didn't really have any sort of buzz. You know, maybe a little bit, but I never really felt like I shouldn't be driving or I was completely off my rocker in terms of drunkenness. Jared, did you feel that way or were you drinking more?
After midnight, I started getting pretty hammered. I was drinking everything under the sun, honestly. I was drinking beer, whiskey, champagne, wine.
Mixing it up.
Yeah. It's all over the map.
Yeah, it was interesting during the party because one of our good friends, Mike, who's been on the show, he didn't bring a lot of beer, but by about 9:15, he was out. I think he might have brought a 12-pack or something.
I think he had a 12 plus a 6. He wasn't out. He was just out of the ones that he liked.
So we had to do a very, very fast liquor run because it was almost time for closing, and Mike... grabbed one of our party goers, and they ran off and came back with an immense amount of booze. He got this wine bottle that I don't know how tall it was, but it probably was 2 feet tall.
No, it was like 2.5, 3 feet. Yeah. I still have it. It's in the kitchen upstairs.
It was gigantic. And Mike had the honor of being the last customer of the year at this particular liquor store, and he did them a favor by spending a lot of money. So.
I believe it was Otto's.
So good for him. I've never been there, by the way.
So they were going to be in the...
very 70s.
In the red, and now...
He totally
Mike turned them around.
Yeah,
turned them around. They were about to shut down. That was going to be their last night until Mike came in.
They're like, we got another week now.
Yeah, we're good to go.
Well, the good thing
I don't think liquor stores are going out of business anytime soon.
No.
The good thing about our New Year's show I think that, you know, as we got different party goers in different states of inebriation, we had some good moments. So if any of you haven't listened to it...
Shane, actually, the best part of the New Year's Eve party is that Mike left most of his beer behind, and I'm still drinking it.
What do we call Mike? What does he do?
He's the beer fairy.
He's the beer fairy. Yeah. He comes to your party, and then your refrigerator is magically stocked full of beer.
I literally had probably 20 beers left over, most of them from him.
Maybe your first video podcast should be next year's New Year's party. Then.
That could be interesting.
There we go. Look at Al's coming with...
Although we'd have to put a lot of black bars over things.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Very, very true.
I like the pixelated kind of...
Like the mosaic. What are they called? Yeah. Is that called mosaic, Jared?
Sure. Why not?
So let's talk about recovery to the part after the party. I didn't drink that much, or at least I didn't think I did, and I certainly didn't feel the positive effects of drinking, but the next day I was feeling pain. And that actually continued...
Actual pain?
That continued for me for 2 days. It took me 2 days to recover from a party that I had no... legitimate buzz or drunken state. I feel like I'm 90 years old.
Can you not drink anymore? What's the deal?
I have no idea.
It's like you don't get a buzz anymore, and you get nothing but hangovers.
I've been doing that lately too.
It's weird.
I don't understand it.
Because you think you go to bed, and you think you're fine, and you wake up pissed off and angry because you got a headache.
Yep.
That you didn't have enough fun for that headache.
And it makes me angry because Jared himself was rocking and rolling the next day. He was ready to go.
I don't know if I was really tired. But I was still drunk when I went to bed. But I was smart enough to pound as much water as my body could
Among
handle.
Other things.
Where is it?
And Mike also was in the same boat. He drank a lot that night, and he was rip-roaring ready to go at 6 a.m. the next day.
I wasn't up there by then, but I think I got up about 1 the next day, maybe. I didn't go to bed till about 5, so.
Yeah, it was probably one of our latest parties. And the cool thing about it was I worked on Jared for months to get the party started earlier. I said, we got to start early because everybody peters out.
Let's start at 6, and then what time does Shane show up?
What Nine. Time was it?
At least 6:30.
It was 6:30. I tried. Well, the reason I didn't come so early is because in previous parties, it was myself that supplied the Rock Band stuff, and Jared bought Rock Band, so I didn't have to. We didn't have as much setup, although we were having problems because we had so much power running in the basement that we were blowing fuses. We couldn't get the sound to work.
I traced that back to the space heater being on. Once we turned that off, when it warmed up enough, that everything was fine.
And one thing you don't know about Jared, Al, is that when we start having technical problems, he gets very quiet and very surly and very and very snippish at me when I'm only trying to help and it hurts my feelings.
Whatever.
You don't think you do? You don't think you hurt my feelings?
No, I know I do, but, you know, you got to get over it sometimes.
you sound just like Carrie. If Carrie's having a problem, it's my fault that she's I'm having problems.
I was being quiet on purpose because I didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings, so...
I know.
Because I knew if I was going to speak, it was going to be angry words, and I just didn't want to share those with people.
Most of the time, Jared is a very nice guy, so all I'm saying is when you do get angry, I'm just surprised that you do get angry, and I'm just shocked that it happens, because you're so even-tempered all the time.
Well, and that's by design.
Yeah, very nice.
Because I could have my father's temper if I wanted it.
Yeah, you better watch
out. And I don't want it, so I have to moderate myself.
And this has been psychoanalysis on the scope. We're breaking that down as well. We're going to talk about what we take from our parents. Let's give a final scope score to the New Year's party. Jared, was it one of the best parties you've ever had?
Boy, it's tough comparison because the birthday party, you know, just a few months prior to that was pretty good too. But I think maybe the New Year's Eve party topped it.
I do like the fact that your party is like an inverse onion in the sense that there are just layers being added to it every year. You know, you've got this great core, and then every year we add another layer, another wrinkle to it.
What did we add this year?
Well, I think that... I don't know if we added anything. Maybe just just how Rock Band ends up being more and more complex.
True.
And I think as the years have gone by, we've added more layers of friends to our group, where we have more and varied people coming. So.
Well, I mean, honestly, this year you've got Angela in the mix now, and she had a selection of friends. That
she's just one big sexy layer, Al.
So when I come, it's going to be the hard, flaky side of an onion. That.
For the record, I have been trying to get you to come to the New Year's Eve party for years, and you've never come. I don't know why that is, but...
Because I have more friends than just the Scope Show.
Because he wants to eat pasta, Shane.
So all those friends get first crack.
We've done this party for a couple years now.
Well, maybe someday we'll get together and
these
do
are
that.
My college cronies.
I understand. So the good friends.
And so clearly we need to put some hits out, Shane.
Well,
let's put some hits out.
And my other friends who went, they get home once every couple times a year.
And
so,
you know, Al's going to be a little disturbed when his good friends from college start passing away unexpectedly, and then he'll come and have to hang out with us. Like, I don't know why all my friends are gone. I've got to come to this
party.
You
guys are actually older, so you'll be croaking first, and I'll be glad I have my other friends.
Well, we'd actually, if you pay attention to the show, Jared said we'd be putting hits out on your friends, and that's why that would be happening.
Suddenly you have no friends and have fewer options on New Year's Eve.
And the reason why Adam didn't come is because, Jared?
He was getting laid.
I was hoping that you would push one of the sound effects that we have.
He's not
I don't know how to do interviews.
That's why he didn't come. So let's move on to number two in our list of things to talk about. We are about a half hour into the show, so we've got to keep moving things along. We sort of swore a few months back that we wouldn't talk politics, and I don't know if we want to get...
We're not talking politics. We're talking history.
We're talking
current events, Shane. It's not politics.
We
won't talk policy. Maybe we will.
We did swear in our 44th president of the United States.
44th, Shane. Yes.
And that would be...
I don't know if you're aware, but he's half black.
I didn't know that. Yeah. You know, I see no color. But...
Are you Stephen Colbert?
I was hoping you would get that frame of that reference. But
I think everyone in the audience got that reference.
Just last week, we swore in Barack Obama in a time of tremendous political crisis, a country crisis.
Yes, you're talking about the flubbing of the oath of office, right?
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
I want to get two of my favorite people's opinions on this. Are we ready as a country for this guy? Are we giving him too much? Giving him too much credit, the ability to change things overnight. Are we excited about this? And I've talked to Jared at length, but I haven't talked to Al about this. Al, you know, you've got a lot of good ideas. What say you about
the king? Quietly.
King Barack Obama and how I need to give him a King Hussein Obama. Tell me what you think about this. Are you excited? And what is in store for us in the next year?
You keep hitting me up on these questions I'm not ready for.
That's part of the fun. Welcome to the show.
Oh, I don't know.
On your face.
We should be excited.
Yeah.
It's change. It's going to be different. They say it's going to be different.
They say it's going to be different.
I don't know. I guess, I don't know. I'm not Adam. I don't have strong, harsh opinions.
We'll let you think about it.
I'm going to go
to Jared because, he never lets me down on this kind of thing. Jared, start talking.
What's the question again?
You know, how excited are you about our new president?
I am, tempering my excitement. I mean, obviously he has the ability to motivate people and get large crowds of people organized and excited about doing stuff. I hope that continues. I hope people still continue to be invested in his administration and still feel compelled to participate in the country again, and hopefully things get better. But, I mean, let's face it, he's got an incredibly difficult situation to deal with.
Do you think that because of this difficulty, it doesn't matter who we would have voted in? It's going to be hard.
I think it does matter, because I think we're at a point now where things have gotten to such a bad state. You need someone who's going to have different ideas, have a different approach, who's not going to just keep the status quo. Someone who's going to do their best to get things back to where they need to be.
Let me ask you. Go ahead, Al.
I don't think it does matter who came in. I think we're so polarized and cynical to which side of the line we're on, that it's just a different side that's going to be complaining about the president and what's going on.
But let me ask you this. Because things seem to be in such dire straits right now, is there really only one way we can go to straighten this out? And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who is in there, if it's a Republican or a Democrat. The one way of doing it is the right way and the way that we have to do it. So... you know, if McCain is in there, would he realize that same thing, that we can't be dicking around and we just need to do what works for the country?
No. I think we have the right person in there, because he's going to work with both sides of the aisle, if we're going to use the metaphor.
Sure.
I mean, it's going to take time. People are still, as Al said, everyone is polarized. And at some point, you need to break away from that. You need to somehow get united. And it's baby steps, but... at some point, I think
both people both candidates would have improved. I just think this one is going to do it, like you said, better, faster.
And there's that level of
in a more positive way.
Yep. And then he's at least as far as we know, he's going to be above board, completely transparent on everything. You know, as much as like posting legislation that he's going to sign on the White House website for several days to get feedback, stuff like that. You know, it's just like. When was the last time we had someone who was so open and so honest?
Sure.
If that continues, we'll see. But, I mean, right now, transparency is kind of the buzzword.
Do you guys think that we are moving into a new era of politics where there is a a transformational quality happening in the sense of how we look at how we as citizens look and deal with politicians and how politicians deal with us, this level of transparency? Or do you think that Obama is kind of a flash in the pan and at some point, you know, in the future, whether it's 4 years from now or 8 years from now, we just end up voting in another president who has done things the old way? Or do you think that this is kind of a benchmark for us and from now on things are going to be different?
I think it's a benchmark. I think things have to be different, and it's not necessarily because of who we elected as our president. A lot of it has to do with what is going on in the country, you know, with the economy, with two wars going on. Everything has just gotten so big and so problematic, and it's something has to change.
And do you
can't continue to operate as you are, or this country will just go bankrupt. It will fail. I don't know what happens and just breaks up into a bunch of small countries. Who knows? But I mean, a year ago, I never would have conceived of the idea of the United States failing as a country. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't even possible.
And now it seems to be right on the radar.
Now
doesn't
it feels like it could happen. And I don't know. I don't know what that means for me. I've never lived in a world where the United States doesn't exist.
Yeah. Or exist as it is.
Right.
Right. You know, you get all these comparisons to Rome, like the great Roman Empire falling, and every great society, every big society at some point or another falls. Do you think, Al, that that's what's in store for us, or do you think that that's a bit of overblown hype? The end of our country as we know it.
No.
That's a hard question, isn't it?
These questions are very broad, Shane. They're very broad. I mean, I don't really get where you're going at.
I'm just saying.
I'm just a jock.
Do you think that our
country would mean the end of professional sports?
Do you think yes? Do you think our country is in? No matter what happens,
There would be no national basketball.
Exactly.
Or national
NBA
football
is gone. Do you think that the status and the power of our country is at an end, and we'd be more akin to a country like France than we are, you know, as we are now? You know, slight power in the world, but you know, people don't take us seriously.
I don't think so. I think we're.
You think we're good to go?
I think we have to be. We have to be that type of force.
Yeah, I think we're still going to continue to be the most powerful country in the world. However, if things go according to plan, we'll be working with other nations. We won't just be dictating policy to everyone.
Our banks won't
saying,
be
our
failing.
Way or the highway. No, it'll be like no. You know, give us your ideas. Let's work together on this. You know, and then maybe we'll actually get a coalition of the willing again at some point if we need it.
I couldn't agree with you more on that sense, Jared. Well,
Tonga doesn't count.
And let me ask one.
Sorry for our Tongan listeners. I love Tonga, but just not when it comes to your military power.
Our 18 Tongan listeners, because we have a very strange group of Tongan listeners that love our show. How long do you guys think that this downturn for us? This bit of, I don't want to say pessimism, but worry is going to encompass our country. You know, we hear that jobs aren't going to be, unemployment's going to be going up for the next year at least. We've got problems with banking. Do you think that part of the problem that we're dealing with is just a negative attitude and people are scared and so that drives this? Or
yes.
Is there a little bit of legitimacy to that? And how long do you think it's going to take to get out of that? And what can we do as people to help push that forward?
First of all, you have to change what the expectations are as far as getting out of it are.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be back to the point where we were. You know, where credit is insanely easy to get. People are living beyond their means. The Dow is going through the roof. That era is gone. We're done. It's never. Everything's going to be much more conservative now.
Sell yourself now. Worry about it later. That's kind of the attitude that we've been going through. Probably the last 16 years. I mean, the start of the tech bubble had a lot of that. This, you know, unstoppable growth that maybe isn't based on a lot of things other than speculation.
I mean, you've got more businesses failing now than probably should, but I think you need to have businesses failing because just consumer spending was way out of whack.
Sure.
And there's no way that the businesses could sustain themselves. So I think a lot of this is just, and I'm sounding like a freaking economist here, but is just markets correcting themselves. Granted, they're going too much the other way, and they're going to come back at some point, but they're never going to go back to where they were.
Sure. And places
which is good because that's where how we got in this mess to begin with.
Places like Circuit City, for instance, you know, I work in the financial world to some degree. They've had problems for years. So it's not like the recession that we're in took them out of business. They've been in trouble for years. Other companies like Blockbuster, they're in trouble. in that sense. Linens and things. All these specialty stores that you see a lot of them out there. They've been in trouble, and we are going to lose places yep. like that. Sears slash Kmart. There's places like that. You know, they just have been living on borrowed time, so it's very possible that they go out of business. Same with the auto industry. Is you know that question then is, what do we do about that? Do we let that go out? Do we support them until they can figure it out? I don't know what the answer is to that.
Yeah,
but
something like the audio industry is a little bit. I mean, you're talking about the entire industry failing, sure. and that's. That's different than a Chrysler going out of business.
Sure. It ties in you know, keep in mind that that ties into many other industries. It's not just Chrysler. It is all the support companies that yep. make tool, yep. make parts
or, and tools and,
or
and everything.
Raw material. Yeah,
but they got to look at how they're doing business too. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're kind of getting a little off track here, but you know, if you're going to put all your R&D and sales efforts into big gas guzzling vehicles, and suddenly the price of oil shoots up to $170 a barrel or whatever it was, and people can't afford it anymore. Now it's come back again.
Yeah,
still
it hurts us.
It's come back, but people aren't spending money, so they're still looking at fuel efficient cars. Suddenly you've got all this inventory of giant vehicles that aren't selling, and then you've got, you know, a bunch of consumers who can't get loans because the credit market has collapsed,
and people that may have some money but are scared to put their necks out there because, you know, they're not making any money in the stock market or their yep. 401ks, that sort of thing. And then it's just this death spiral.
Now, it's like things are made worse because people are panicking. People mm-hmm. are scared. You know, it's a lot of people are saying now's a great time to buy a house. And I think it is. I mean, with the housing market as depressed as it is, it's a great time to buy as long as you don't have to sell your house.
Exactly. Or first-time if you're worried buyers, about losing your job.
First-time buyers who can get credit. Great time to buy.
Mm-hmm. You have to have a decent down payment.
And let me give you my number. I can show you some listings and
I think it may be. I think it may be even better in 6 months. But
so anyway, your question was: is it how long is this going to last?
Yeah. Let me just make it a more general question. If we have this conversation,
and sorry, we're not bringing the funny folks.
Sorry, it's serious. You know, sometimes we have to have this very serious scope. In 1 year from now, what is the tone of our conversation? Do we feel like we've come out of the dark, or do you think we still feel like we do today? 1 year from now. January something, 2010.
Can it be worse?
It sure, could, absolutely. It could be worse. What do you think, Al? You've been very quiet. You're rubbing your eye. You look sad.
No.
You think it's going to be better?
That's where he keeps his money.
You think that there's still going to be more pessimism and people are going to be even more scared?
I don't know.
He doesn't know. You know, that's a fair and honest answer to a question.
I don't know if I have an answer for that.
That a lot of politicians probably feel the same way.
I'm going to Hawaii this summer, so
good for you.
I don't care.
Good for you. Take a picture for me. Yeah. I think the problem with the economy in general is that, you know, it's so hard to predict where things are going to go. And it's, you know, to make these sort of blanket statements, you know, is it going to be better or going to be worse? I don't think people really know whether it's going to be better, whether it's going to be worse. And you just sort of have to go with the flow. And I think that, you know, we're dealing with stuff that we haven't seen in 70 years.
You've really got Al bummed out, by the way.
Sorry,
I mean, look
Al.
At him. He's somber.
Al, you're going to have a good time reading the news in just a minute, so in our next segment. But, you know, I don't know either. It scares the hell out of me on what's going to happen. You know, our unemployment right now, the national average is a little over 7. Here in Minnesota, we're at 6.9. You know, they say 10% is very doable by the end of the year.
Well, that's good to have goals.
But it could be higher than that. You know, keep in mind, Great Depression, unemployment was over 25%.
I don't think we're headed there.
No, I think, and you also have to keep in mind that, you know, you have a smaller population, you know, less industry, different types of jobs. So, you know, it's not completely comparable. So I don't think we'll be seeing lines and lines of people for soup kitchens. If we do, folks, my advice would be invest in Campbell's soup and actually pack your basement full of
now,
non-perishable
you,
food.
Now, are you talking actually buy the soup itself?
I say both.
Just like Colbert, he would invest?
I'd say both. But, you know, I hope that in a year from now we can say the worst of it is behind us and things are looking up or at least stabilized. That's what I'm hoping for.
How long does a recession typically last? Is there a kind of an average time? I'm not even
well,
sure.
Well, they said
that.
We've been
in it for a year.
For a year.
So that's what I'm curious is, how long does the average recession last?
I thought an average recession, we're over what an average recession is, actually.
Is it? Okay.
So keep in mind how people look at what a recession is. It's, you have to look back at the statistics. It's not, you're not predicting, you're always looking back. So realistically, you know, we could be out of a recession right now. Obviously, we're not, but they don't know it until they can see it in the rearview mirror. So, it's a little bit of a deceptive indicator.
But now you start saying it and people get scared.
Yeah.
And it just kind of reinforces itself.
Yeah. And then you start throwing in this word of a depression, which there really isn't a technical definition for what a depression is. You know, it's only been used once.
But I feel like we talk about non-funny topics for too long.
Yeah, we're in a depression. But yeah, so I don't know. Let's just hope that in a year from now, things are looking a little bit better for us. And, you know, hopefully Obama could be leading that charge. And frankly, if McCain was in there, I would hope that he could be doing the same thing. I mean, you have to be making the right decisions. And I think at some point you have to be supporting what your president is. And you have to trust in our leaders making the right decisions for us. And hopefully this is one of those times.
I'd like to say that I know that a lot of our listeners are, you know, tightening the bootstraps or whatever they got to do. Pull them up. Trying to save money.
Tightening the bootstraps.
Just going to make some metaphors there.
I love a tightened bootstrap.
But I just want to remind people that it costs you nothing except for electricity and time to listen to this.
Exactly. So we love that. And speaking of things we love, we're on to our last topic of the show, and that is things that we love right now. I knew that we would get a little down, a little sad with the state of our economy. So I wanted to...
And the Vikings.
And the Vikings. So I wanted everybody here to talk about...
And Adam not being here.
Worst Jew ever.
Worst Jew ever.
Thank you.
Just for you.
I'm not good at interviews.
I don't know how to do interviews.
So let's talk about one thing right now.
Not hot.
That we can that you can listen to or watch or think about. That's great. You know, we all have our secret loves. Let's talk about those. I'm going to go to Al right now because I know there must be something that he's really high on and he wants to talk about.
Fantasy baseball starting up soon.
Well, I thought we were going to talk about something new that we're into.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Mine isn't new.
I noticed Jared is now my friend on Facebook.
That's right.
I just started Facebook about a week ago. No, not even a week ago. And I haven't decided if I like it or how much I like it.
Now, and I've been trying, you know, sort of mentioning it to you over the past year or so. That, hey, Facebook might be something you could get into.
I do a Facebook type. There's a site called MyFamily.com that I'm on with like 7 people, and it's just our own basically
small group
website that we use, and I really enjoy that. But I decided to finally get on board. I'm usually about 5 years behind when it comes to technology.
The technology
and
curve
fun
is
stuff. But I was talking.
He just got his 5 gig iPod.
Very nice.
Yeah,
black and white.
Finally. And I don't use my airline headphones anymore. I
yeah,
got
the little
some nice ones.
You should see my headphones are terrible. But go ahead, Al.
But my big dilemma with Facebook now is I've spent the last 7 or 8 years of my life trying to
hide from people,
completely disconnect. Yeah. Basically,
I gotta find you.
Disconnect from my high school crowd. And
speaking of which, I just got a friend request from someone from high school.
Yeah.
Wow!
Just now,
things are happening.
So.
The show is so terrible that even Jared is looking at his Facebook right during it.
So basically, I skipped my 10-year reunion a few years ago because I just didn't need to go. I kind of have this rule about, you know, if someone doesn't call you in over a year or make any contact, they are technically not your friends.
They're dead to me. That's how I look
well,
at
not
it.
Dead. But
am I going too far?
But they're not people you want to converse with. Now, sure. I want to use Facebook to, you know, communicate better with people that I know. But is that not... I mean, isn't that the point of Facebook? But then it seems like it gets treated as this big network for everyone to know your business.
You know, I think it totally depends on how you want to use it. There are people that will friend everyone out there, people that want everyone to know what their business is. And then there's the flip side of that, where people are using it for a very small network of friends. Yeah. It ends up being an easier way to check up on everybody without having to go through your traditional email channels.
It's a great way to coordinate events.
You know, you can get as involved or passive on that as you want.
I wish it had layers though. Like you could have like friend and then like information just for.
Can you do that, Jared? Where you can limit on certain people?
I know you can create lists of people. I'm not sure if you can segment what people can say based on lists. There are some security things in there.
I don't need people. Hey, I live close to you too. Now let's go get a beer. And I'm like.
Wow.
I don't want to be a dink, but...
You don't want to do that.
I don't need to sit and rehash with a bunch of people. I kind of want to have it both ways. That's kind of my problem. I want to just be a little nosy and, you know...
You want to know what's going on with people, but you don't want those people getting in your face.
Kind of, yeah. And I want to keep it on a superficial, you know, internet-based only and not...
Yeah.
Well,
in the real life.
Those people will find that if you don't respond to them, that you can keep it very superficial because they'll back off. But what about you, Jared? Where do you fit in that spectrum of Facebook? Are you someone that wants to know what's going on with everyone and You're putting all your business out there, or you know?
I'm not putting all my business in there. My more personal stuff I don't put out there. But I mean, I've got a. I'm kind of at a point now. It's like I made a. I wasn't sure when I first signed up if I wanted to have friends that I didn't really know that well, if we're just acquaintances.
Yeah.
But I've kind of gotten past that point already, so it's like.
Well, I'm on now, so.
Yeah. So, I don't know. You know, I'm just wary of what I put out there. Just make sure I'm not, you know, saying too much, and you know.
Yeah, that's.
I'm kind of over you know, the not sharing part of it.
Yeah, so. That's exactly how I am. I get beyond and by that issue that you're having just by not putting my most personal things out there. I use it as a way to reconstruct my social networks throughout my life, just because I find it kind of fascinating. And for me personally, I'm happy if my high school acquaintances and or friends, even if I haven't talked to them in years, if they seem to be doing pretty well. I appreciate that. I think it's fun to see that out there. But I don't use it as my personal diary, so you know my status won't be, you know, today Shane you know got a mole cut off near his tallywhacker. I mean, yeah. I don't put that stuff out there. Or if I'm fighting with my wife, or you know my child has got ADD and is destroying the house, I don't put that stuff out there. I'm very careful on the information that slips out there. Now there are a lot of people out there, Al, that are perfectly fine broadcasting their life, and you know, we could have a whole show about this. This concept of everyone wanting to be celebrity or have some sort of notoriety out there.
Yeah.
We won't get into that. Yeah. So I think that the smart people don't do that with Facebook and other avenues of, you know, putting your diary or life out there. But for me personally, I find it fascinating that, you know, I can be friends with and, you know, it's really, I'm doing air quotes. Yeah. And it's more acquaintances with someone that I haven't seen since sixth grade. I just find it fascinating and... Hmm.
Yeah, and I've been on Facebook.
And intriguing.
I've been on Facebook for over a year, probably longer, and it's interesting how many of my high school people have shown up now.
Yeah,
it's like it almost doubles, you know, every couple of weeks how many people are out there. It's kind of crazy.
And the magic is you can interact with those people as much as or as little as you want.
Yeah,
but just think about the concept 10 years ago. You know, if you were to find out about your buddy. Josh Smith in high school, the only way you'd know about him is if you know someone told you about him, or maybe you were friends with him prior to that. Now you can kind of see where everybody fits into the spectrum of thing. I think that's fascinating. I think it's really, really
married
interesting.
And has kids, and
I don't know. I guess I like to half my humor and half my jokes that I want to joke about is how I like to make fun of townies and people who do math and stuff like that. And that's like half the people that are going to be my friends.
Well, then don't friend them.
Yeah. You can ignore them if you want.
You can totally ignore them.
Yeah. And then it just kind of looks snobby, like, oh, he's making fun of us because we're townies.
Yeah, whatever. I think that
I know,
people
I'm way
get over
too
that.
Into myself right now.
You are that's, very, very self.
Those barriers will break down once you're on there. Once you start, you know, playing some mob wars or some other. I don't know. Do you get into any of the applications that are on there? You know, the games and the, you know, the
there's
quizzes.
There's games on there.
Yeah, I don't do the games. I
really don't do any of that stuff anymore. Here's, I really use it just to, I mean, I kind of aggregate a bunch of different feeds from
it's
different
almost
sites
like,
into
to
it.
To me, it's almost like a visual email system, you know, or like a visual updater where you can see what's happening with people. It's interesting, but yeah, I don't use it as some sort of fun gaming platform or anything
like that. I
think
that changed when they went to the new layout because that was, all of those applications were de-emphasized.
Yeah.
And it all became about... posts to your wall,
yep.
You know, your status updates, messages to people,
groups,
links you're adding, and stuff like that, and then everyone can comment on that stuff. And that, to me, that's where the fun is.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Well, you hit it on the head, Shane. I basically want to be nosy and know about the other people, but I don't want them knowing about me.
Well, you could choose not to put anything on yours if you don't want
to. Yep. And you know, I think both Jared and I are waiting on pins and needles to find out how you're
like
you progress through Facebook.
I didn't want to go to my high school reunion. I wanted to go like incognito
and just
and
kind of
just be
catch up.
Like dress up as one of the waiters or something and walk around.
I'm curious if that attitude will change as you get older. You know, because as I've gotten older, I've lost a little bit of that. And I'm not saying bitterness, but sort of that indifference. And I don't really care to.
I didn't even hate high school though.
Yeah,
I just don't want to.
You
be
just don't really care
anymore.
That much. Yeah. Maybe it's also part of where you grew up. You know, you had a smaller town, and maybe a lot of those people don't leave.
I don't want to be a cyber townie.
Cyber townie.
Cyber townie.
So, Jared, what are you loving right now? What's captured your interest? We know you love Facebook, but I've got to believe there are other things out there that are.
That's
on your
actually
radar.
A couple things, Shane, and I don't know. Neither one is really new, but I'm enjoying my Xbox quite a bit.
You have been playing that a lot.
We spent last Monday, Martin Luther King Day, celebrating civil rights by playing Left 4 Dead all day.
Yeah, Jared and I. Jared came over to my house, and in honor of Martin Luther King, cracked open a brand new game I got from the in-laws, which is an M-rated plus 18 game. Mm-hmm. They would be shocked to know.
So
what
naturally,
you do.
We took our pants off
so
and
it's a shoot 'em up game. I'm guessing
it's a nothing but destroy zombies, and survival horror. Survival horror, and it's set up in a very core movie esque type of thing where you're. It's almost like you're playing through different zombie horror movie scenarios. Mm. It's very, very fascinating.
Alan doesn't look interested at all.
That reeks of I have a dream.
Yeah,
it does, doesn't it?
Martin Luther King was thinking exactly that.
Then one day I'll be able to shoot zombies on a television smash. Screen.
The coolest character in the game is a bald black guy. So yeah, there you go. Yeah, Jared and I played that, I think, for 6 hours in between Burger King runs.
Yes. It was
multiple?
Pretty good. Runs? No, just one.
Sorry. Well, we got multiple runs. We went out there, and then after eating it, we had runs in our pants. That's
wow.
Where is it?
There we go.
It's been a lot of fun. I haven't played it since, Jared. But,
well, I mean, it's a
multiple President's
game.
Day is coming up.
President, soon. Do you have that day off? Because I think I do.
I don't.
No? I'll be playing by myself.
Yeah, I guess so.
What else, Jared?
Nothing new.
I've also gotten into Sex and the City, the TV show, quite a bit.
Al just had us either.
I know, it's great.
Al watched that entire season, that entire show because of his wife.
That was a one and done, and I didn't mind it the first time. I don't know. Nothing doesn't.
See, I've never watched
the
show before.
Then it's okay. No,
for me, it's all new.
I thought you're rediscover. Rewatching The Wire, catch all the things I missed, and you're rewatching.
No, I had over the summer. I got to see the first episode right before we went to see the movie. So I saw how it started. I saw how it ended, and now I'm filling in the gaps in between. We're currently on disc 2 of season 4.
Let's have a moment of clarity and truth. Would you be watching it if you didn't have a girlfriend that loved it?
Yeah, I've always been curious about the show.
All right, okay.
And it just helps that she owns the DVDs.
Yeah, so it's there.
So
you
it's
can
there.
Get
I don't have
it.
To do Netflix or anything like that.
I look forward to the time when you introduce her to Voltron.
Oh yeah, that's going well. She does want to watch Firefly though. We watched Flight of the Conchords. I introduced her to that.
Very good.
So, there you go.
You're enlightening her.
My wife and I watched it just because it was something I guess we could agree on.
Yeah,
and that was it worked.
And you borrowed a lot of our DVDs to do it.
There is some of that there too. I mean, she doesn't like a lot of the shows that I watch, so it's like if we can find something we can both watch, it's a good thing.
Common ground.
Yeah.
Well, good.
And there's boobies.
There are boobies. There are. Unfortunately, a lot of time it's Kim Cattrall's boobies, but boobies nonetheless.
I've seen everyone's except for.
Charlotte?
What's her name? No, you see hers.
Oh. Yes, there's one episode where you see those.
You don't see...
the best in the show.
What's her name?
Sarah Jessica Parker does not show them. Not sure what they would look like if you wanted to.
It was in her contract.
Yep, I'm sure it
was.
So, Jared loves Sex and the City, which, you know what? I think this will be awesome because all three of us will have seen the entire series in a few weeks because you'll be completely caught up, Jared.
Then we
can talk about the big Aiden / Mr. Big controversy that rages onto this
day. Yeah, right now in season 4 where she's back together with Aiden and he was kind of punishing her for the whole thing. Yeah,
the cheating thing? Deservedly so, by the way.
You go guy.
Yeah, but anyway. Yeah. We're not going to get into that.
So what I'm loving right now is kind of a surprise love, and that is the television show, the J.J. Abrams show, Fringe.
Oh,
It was a show that I was very, very excited to watch. As we led up to the beginning of the fall season, it was billed kind of as a mix between the X-Files and Lost a little bit. But I have to say that the first few episodes were very, very underwhelming to me. The characters didn't really have a voice. It seemed a little scatterbrained, and it also. It just one of those things when you have a new show, it oftentimes takes a while to find its path. And I was very, very close to dropping this show. I think it was the last thing in our TiVo. That's always an issue, Jared, where you have six shows of one particular program locked and loaded, and you have to force yourself to watch
them. Just this past week, I deleted House and the Sarah Connor Chronicles and canceled my season passes on those.
He's done. He's walked away from it. And we were close to getting rid of that, and my wife said, Shane, let's give it a try. Give it one last shot, and we did, and I have to say, not disappointed at all. It's like over the span of three shows, they found the rhythm, they found exactly how to progress through.
Like the rhythm, like Brian Austin Green doing some hip-hop?
Exactly, nothing but Vanilla Ice wannabes.
Okay. Nice.
Brian Austin Green on the television show, the Sarah Connor's Chronicles.
Oh, I thought he was on Fringe.
No,
that's Joshua Jackson.
That's Josh Jackson.
Oh.
Jared calls him Joshua, the formal.
Insert pacing.
Well, what is he? Isn't that his professional name, Joshua Jackson, or does he go by Josh?
I think it's Joshua Jackson.
Okay, see, then I'm right.
But yeah, over the course of a couple shows, they found the balance between the overall mythology of the show, which I always find more interesting. A lot of people find that sort of hard to deal with because if you miss a show, you're missing missing the bigger picture. But, you know, if you watch something consistently, it works very well. And then pulling out of this issue where, you know, you've got these paranormal weird activities that happen every week, and how they would introduce them is they have this wacky scientist on the show who 30 years prior did all of these experiments. So every time they'd have, you know, someone that had new ESP or saw ghosts, well, this particular wacky scientist was behind that somewhere or another. Like, oh, I remember when I did research on this. And they got away from that, saying, you know, instead of him have direct impact on that, it's something that he could use his scientific powers to kind of research and figure it out rather than already being in his head. And I think once they did that, it made the whole show much more interesting and much more watchable. So I think for those people out there that haven't given Fringe a shot, this may be the time to do it. They're kind of introducing, you know, the overall mythology in every episode, kind of at the beginning, and giving you overviews. They're doing a very good job of tying it all together at the beginning, wrapping it up in a pretty little package, and then letting you get into it. So if you haven't watched it, maybe that's the show for you.
So what does my boy Lance Reddick do on the show?
Lance Reddick, who's that?
The guy from The Wire.
He is the he's kind of the main,
and the car commercials.
And Lost.
He's the main.
He was on Lost.
He's the boss. He's the boss. Okay. So he knows a lot more about the bigger picture, but he doesn't really spill the beans. So he's a very mysterious character that is. I don't say he's driving things, but he's definitely a part of the bigger picture. So, you know, he kind of falls into that type of character. He's a good guy, good character, good actor.
Yeah.
So those are the things we love.
Now the stuff we hate for hour two.
For hour two. So, hey, listen, we have got a lot more show, unfortunately, coming up. We've got Under the Scope. We've got Scope Sounds. We've got everything. So why don't you guys take a break for about 2 seconds, and Jared's going to be back with some Muzak.
Right.
Do it.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it! Hey, it's the latest from the great Luke Ski, friend of the show. This is his tribute to Lost. It's called Everybody Got Lost. You can find it over at thefump.com. Here we go.
This is your captain. I want to thank you for flying Oceanic Flight 815. Looks like we may have a little turbulence here, so please return to your seats, because it looks like we're heading for a wipeout!
Stand in front of that giant spinning jet engine, you'll get sucked in!
I can't hear you! I'm standing in front of a giant spinning jet engine, and I'm being sucked in!
Dude,
somewhere in the middle of the South Pacific, there's an island whose location is not specific. We're several dozen passengers of Oceanic Flight 815, crashed like the Titanic. They are hiding from a smoggy beast that's quite horrific, in a bunker with a scientific hieroglyphic. But Ben is saying, come on babies, don't you panic, cause I'm gonna be your very own satanic mechanic. Dr. Jack will be their leader and will help them all survive. Now he's taking care of much more than a party of five, and he'll get them off the island no matter what the cost. At least that's what he tells himself. But now, just like your luggage, they're lost. Everybody get lost. The other's a cost. While Desmond gets sauced. There's a newborn boy named Aaron, and that baby is Claire's. Now the Aussie kid can play with all the local polar bears who are lost. Now Kate was on the run, could really use a lawyer. She don't know if she loves Jack or loves that comment Sawyer. When they need explosive Sai, he knows just how to bomb it. And poor Charlie never really kicked his heroin hobbit. It appeals to the mundanes, it appeals to the geeks, like the movie Castaway starring the cats of Twin Peaks. And will Michael be forgiven by the friends he double crossed? His son Walt made it home, but his dog, just like the rest of us, are lost. Not everybody gets lost. Judith's son is star-crossed, cause her dad's a mob boss. There's no Blu-ray discs or iPhones, no, not even an Atari. Just that crazy Clark Rousseau, who is also a Minbari, who's lost.
Hello, I'm Dr. Marvin Candle. Welcome to this Dharma Initiative drum solo. Your job is to dance the dance of your choice, be it the twist, Watusi, or bad robot. Our psychologist will take notes on you and then pick new contestants for ABC's Dancing with the Stars. Namaste!
Everybody say four!
Four!
Eight!
Eight!
15!
15!
16!
16!
23!
23!
42!
42!
Go ahead!
button, it'll send you round the band. In 108 minutes, we can do it all again! Yay! Shamrock had a failed relationship with Peggy Bundy.
He never won,
but on the island, he's a badass Crocodile Dundee. He can build a trap and bassinet with no screwdriver. And he'd win $1 million if he was on Survivor. Yeah, the Hansel Corporation will be working every angle. It's like Lord of the Flies in the Bermuda Triangle. After Hurley won the lottery, his cash was albatross. Now he's chilling on the beach where no one notices the weight he ain't lost. Everybody get lost. Feds own Holocaust. Dharma bodies were tossed. The Oceanic Sixes in the helmets, all their rodents like Gilligan's Island in the Twilight Zone. Is it faith or is it science or coincidence or fate? If it happens during scenes, who cares? The ratings will be great. Thanks to that guy J.J. Abrams, every week the fans will cringe. Is that Monster Cloverfield or are they living on the fringe? And I better wrap this up because it's gone on far too long, or I just might flash back to a completely different song and get lost!
You're listening to The Scope.
Under the Scope.
We are back with Under the Scope. Guess what, guys? It's usually a three-pronged attack. I call it the trident attack of
Under the Scope.
We don't have any reviews this week, so the pressure is on Al to deliver the news.
Pressure is on me to find the button, too.
We're already starting in the hole, Al, so you've got to bring it.
Sorry, you'll never get those seconds back.
Throw a little excitement into your voice. The one thing I do want to say is that this is Adam's sole contribution to the show.
Mm-hmm.
He sent me the news this morning. God knows what he's doing right now. He's probably making matzo balls, but Al, start reading, please.
Well, it looks like, according to Adam's lovely email here, is first article from thedailybackground.com. I'm not going to get copyright infringements on me, so I will actually say where it's from.
I like that.
Wow.
You mean you didn't write these stories yourself?
No, I did not.
I thought Adam wrote these stories by himself, Jared.
I guess the mystery has been solved. It's not his work. He just steals them off the internet.
So we're totally revealing Adam as a fraud.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyway, Belkin's development rep is hiring people to write fake positive Amazon reviews.
Should we quiz Al as we go through this? Al, do you know what Belkin is? If you were to guess.
I've had a Belkin product. I'm trying to think what it was. Maybe something for my iPod.
Probably a sex toy. Yeah.
No, do they make the transmitters, like FM transmitters?
They do.
Stuff like that.
Yep, and they also, do they do like mice?
I don't know. They do all kinds of computer shit.
Yeah, any sort of computer, iPod peripheral, they may be
involved. It's got a USB plug on it. They make it probably.
Okay.
Sure. To sum this up really quick, it looks like Belkin has a website where people can go on and basically get paid to work on the computer and do things that computers can't do. One thing being they can write reviews for Amazon.com.
So people, let me get this straight. People come in, they go to this website, and they write positive fake reviews for Belkin products.
Basically.
To get more attention and maybe, hey, this Belkin mouse or this Belkin iPod thing has 5 stars, so yeah. I've got to buy it because John from Cincinnati says it's the best thing ever.
So basically for 65 cents...
Boy, this has never happened before.
Never.
Sure. Never.
So for 65 cents for every positive review they leave, there are dozens of these requests from the Mike Bayard guy on Mechanical Turk.
65 cents per review?
Per positive.
That doesn't seem like a lot.
So if Gary from Scope Show fans were to do this, he'd only give it 4 stars instead of 5s, like when he bashed us on the iTunes, right, Jared? He would get 65 cents.
So
that was a tough joke. That was an Arrested Development joke, by the way, like callback of over 2 weeks, but what are you going to do? Sorry.
I like your effort, though, Sean.
So let's rate Adam's selection for that story. I say like 2 stars at the most.
Yeah, 1 and 3.
Not stars. A good Adam story, but I think Al really pumped it up.
No, probably a better story than the way I read it, but it was a really long one.
Al, you're so negative. You're negative about this.
Well, I take this a little more seriously than I should.
It's a lot of pressure to just have to come in and read somebody's stuff, so I think you're doing a great
job.
Let's
talk about something that that I know nothing about right here. Wealthy men give women more orgasms.
Orgasms and wealth?
Yeah. Which part don't you understand? The orgasm or the wealth?
Being
part?
Wealthy, women, and orgasms.
Yes. Wow. So you're really out of your element here.
It's a triple
it's
negative.
It's the trident of my negativity right here.
The trident of inaccurate.
Yeah.
Inaccuracy?
I hope there's some tips in there.
Let's go.
Let's see. Scientists have found that the pleasure women get from making love is directly linked to the size of the partner's bank balance.
Not their schlong.
Uh-oh.
Interesting. They found that the wealthier man is, the more frequent his partners have orgasms. Women's orgasms frequency increases with the income of their partner, according to Dr. Thomas Pullett, the Newcastle University psychologist.
Dr. Thomas Golddigger.
Yeah. He believes the phenomenon is an evolutionary adaptation and that hardwired into women, driving them to select men on the basis of their perceived quality. The study is certain to prove controversial, suggesting that women are inherently programmed to be gold diggers.
Oh, there
Mickey,
it is.
Mr.
Kanye West
Palmer
was right.
Shine.
Sorry.
However, it fits into a wider body of research known as evolutionary psychology.
I don't think rich guys are getting wide bodies.
That both men and women are genetically predisposed to ruthlessly exploit each other to achieve the best chances of survival for their genes.
It's a very positive attitude to be taking towards
In other words, screw love, screw romance. It's all about survival of the fittest. Yeah.
That's exactly it. So,
all right.
So I think we're blowing that theory out of the water because all three of us have ladies in our lives.
Yeah.
It just must be our ridiculously good
looks. And
they're
always in good moods, too.
Yeah, they're never,
for some reason.
They're never angry. They never yell at you for vacuuming incorrectly or or breathing too loud.
Wow.
Hey, did I say that?
Flushing the toilet.
You,
yeah.
I don't want to go to Al's house. It's probably full of unflushed toilets.
What? Is that an issue, really?
Not really.
Translation? Yes.
Oh, what did that? You're not supposed to flush the toilet, or you are supposed to?
Or you're
to
not
flush
flushing it when
yeah,
you should?
Not flushing when I should.
So do you drop a deuce and then not flush the toilet? Is that what we're getting at?
Well, he's just trying to save water.
That
by
wasn't
you.
Even me. That was just a general.
Oh, okay.
That was his. That was a guy he knows. His name was Mal.
Yeah.
Mal.
Hal. Yeah. Like Hal on Married to Children when there was a...
I hear Mal just opened an account on Friendster.
Instead of Facebook.
Right. Oh. Yeah, see.
That's a nerd joke.
Wow. Not my day. We're going to say...
He's never coming back.
No. Just for the record, too, it's kind of funny. The last two times we've done the year in review on the Scope.
Yeah.
Not one person commented on our show.
So you're saying that you are like the comment killer.
Yeah, I'm the show killer. Wow. Or I just assume they all agree with us. Cause
I'm going to assume that.
When we dare said Snow Patrol had a great album, Gary, you know, tried to rip us a new one.
That was a backlash of unprecedented proportions.
We might have some backlash coming up in the comments. Yeah. You never know.
Shane's on the show.
I'm going to skip this one.
Okay, skip.
But you can look it up on your own, what Obama wants Congress to add. Or to act on lifting stem cell ban. That's a little too serious.
Yeah, we've talked a lot of politics. Yeah. I think that's good editorial decision-making on your part.
That's good. Let's keep it lively.
Hulu CEO is on its Always Sunny removal. We screwed up royally. So this note, however, is not about the fact that episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia were taken down. Rather, this note is to communicate to the users that we screwed up royally with regards to how we handled the specific content removal and to apologize for a lack of strong execution. We gave effectively no notice to our users that these Sunny episodes would be coming off the service. We handled this in precisely the opposite way that we should have. We believe that our users deserve decency on the reasonable warning before content is taken down from Hulu service. Please accept our apologies.
So, do you know
Hulu guys?
Do you know anything about this, Jared? I did not hear anything about this.
No, I didn't. I don't really watch anything on Hulu. I think it's a great service.
I love the interface. Yeah. I love how it works. If I'm feeling a little blue, I often will go in and find some of my favorite Saturday Night Live bits, sure, which they oftentimes have, and I'll go in there and watch them and laugh. Do you ever do Hulu?
No, I don't. But you can. Can't you watch it? Can't you watch Sunny on FX.com?
Possibly.
I think.
That may be why it's not there.
I'm assuming,
I don't know.
Are they pulling it because it's somewhere else? Are they pulling it because it's got questionable content?
I looked recently and they have full episodes on their website already for It's Always Sunny. So
I'm secretly hoping that Microsoft will get some sort of partnership with Hulu and get that on the Xbox 360.
That'd
be a nice compliment to the Netflix. Because I know it's showing up other like resources. I think the other Netflix player, the Roku Box or whatever, I think they're going to get Hulu. There's a lot of like the free home media theater applications that you can get are getting Hulu streaming along with Netflix streaming integrated.
Does that undermine the whole concept of buying the television episodes?
Netflix already does that, and they don't care. Apparently, they think it's they're yeah, it's at some point you have to it's having more options is better than trying to protect your own marketplace.
Gotcha. What do we got for our next story, Al? Is that it?
There's one more. I really don't want to read it. Shane gave me 3 pages to read and summarize.
And Al read one-third of a page.
No, and that's asking a little
Is there
much,
a headline? Maybe we could vote on it.
Apple's iPhone may have outsold Android nearly 6-1.
That's not that interesting.
That's about it.
It's about what I expected.
They're doing better than Android.
Right so now. That goes in the dumb moment of the day right there.
I guess so.
We need to create a sounder for that, a dumb moment. There we go. Why don't you cut that out and whip up something, Jared? So we finished with news. I think Al's done a great job considering the material that he's been given to work.
Stop.
Right?
Stop.
But guess what? I'm going to blow this sucker up.
Do it.
Coming soon. Al and I just did, we tagged off, and we've got a lot. Actually, that's not even true. This could be one of the worst coming soons ever, everybody.
Well, it is January.
We are in that post-Christmas slump, and considering the economy is terrible, nobody is making music, nobody's making motion pictures, nobody's releasing DVDs. So
should we actually say if we're interested in this then, since we have a short list?
What do you mean? Like
read it off and
okay, yeah, absolutely. And you know, keep in mind that I create this
if
list.
If we don't do some type of game on this episode, something's wrong.
Yeah, no shit.
I don't know if you guys
swear more too, fuckers.
Yeah,
I guess I don't know if you know this, Al, but sometimes I do the coming soon list tongue in cheek. So I'll throw in crazy things that nobody would ever buy or be interested in. Let's see if we have a few of those on this.
So
list.
You could say like buy, would like to see, or doesn't.
Sure. Okay. So. Sure. Yeah, well, I'll throw out the
list.
Might
be a My Little Pony DVD.
Sure.
Music, January 27th. I believe that's a Tuesday.
Yeah, usually is.
We've got a new album from Franz Ferdinand. It's called Tonight.
Curious.
Franz Ferdinand. Ooh. I'm curious too, Jared.
Definitely, I'll check that out.
A big hit maker in the mid-90s, Duncan Sheik is back with Whisper House.
No,
I don't really
go
care.
Away.
Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, or E Street Band, coinciding with his Super Bowl halftime appearance, the album Working on a Dream.
Yeah, I'll watch the rest of it.
You know, we reviewed his last album, and I think we were surprised. I mean, I don't think it's something we would listen to, but actually some of the songs on there we thought were okay, right?
He's solid. It's
kind of boring for me.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. So, you know, good for him. He's got fans, but what do you do? And then finally, Al's favorite artist ever, Lisa Left Eye Lopez, has got a new album coming out called I Legacy.
I would listen to that just out of curiosity.
Yeah, I don't even know what's going on with
that. Isn't she dead?
She's been dead for many years.
Well, yeah. How does she have an album coming out?
Maybe it's a greatest hits. Maybe it's it's the Tupac syndrome where she just keeps
making syndrome.
She keeps making music year after year after the death. I don't know.
Maybe that just proves that she wasn't that talented to begin with, and you can use a studio full of producers to make that sound.
Very possible.
I don't know.
Well, so let's look at February 3rd to see what we got going on music there.
Good thing it's a recession right now because we can't afford all this. Great music.
Right, I know. Oh, so
I just all have to pass on Left Eye.
So former frontman of Soundgarden, Chris Cornell, has got an album called Scream. What was his other band?
Audio Slave.
A lot of people like that. Chris Cornell's kind of an odd fellow because, you know, for the longest time, I've always thought, you know, I don't even know why I'm saying this, but I've always thought he's a pretty good-looking guy. You know, like he's a decent-looking guy. And Carrie feels the same way. I've got a wife. We can talk about that stuff.
Okay.
But just recently I've seen him, and he looks, it's like he hit the wall.
Did he?
Like he looks weird now. He's gone from, hey, that's a cool looking dude, to something's going on with this guy. Like he's sick or something. I don't know. I'm not interested in this album, by the way.
No, he's very talented.
I'm just not my
deal.
I've never been interested in his solo stuff. I liked Soundgarden, and I liked some of the Audio Slave stuff, but his solo stuff I've never really cared for.
Some might say that David Cook owes part of his American Idol success to covering Chris Cornell's version of Billie Jean. We've also got the Von Bondies with their album Love, Hate, and Then There's You. Indie band, not my thing, but
they got
Al might like
they it. Got popular because Jack White punched their guy in the face.
There you go.
Nice.
One of Al's favorite bands of all times, the very unique sounding The Fray with their latest hit album, The Fray.
You know what? Now when I go to work at the elementary school, I have something in common. We can all listen to our soccer mom music.
There we go. Not that interested in that album. And then finally, speaking of American Idol, we've got Melinda Doolittle with her album, Coming Back to You.
Which one's she?
She's Shrek.
Shrek.
Shrek. Yeah. Shane's favorite.
African-American Shrek. I felt that she should have won American Idol that season. Sorry. No neck or not. Everybody,
other
got
than Jordan Sparks?
Other than Jordan Sparks, yes. So we've got this thing called motion pictures, talkies, as Adam used to call them.
Right.
January 30th is a Friday. We've got three big movies coming out. We've got the movie The Uninvited, which I believe is a horror movie. Is it undescript or indescript? I don't know. Horror movie we don't care about. We've got Taken, which is the story of a former spy starring Liam Neeson. Haven't seen him around a lot.
That one looks cool.
That commercial fascinates me.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
It just looks awesome because he's like, you know, give me my girl back and there no questions asked when we'll move on. If you don't, I'm going to fuck you up.
this is kind of a...
But I like how just bland it... bland the commercial is and how bland the trailer is for it, because I wouldn't know what to expect going in to really see.
Sure. Well, here's the story. A former spy relies on his old skills to save his daughter, who was kidnapped by slave traders during their vacation in Paris. But that's kind of grim subject matter, isn't it? Let's hope that he gets her. And speaking of grim, we've also got the movie New in Town, which this has been advertised like crazy lately. It's a story of a Miami-based consultant.
I've not seen one ad for it, by the way.
Played by Renee Zellweger. She shipped out to a small town in Minnesota.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
For her newest project, supervising the restructuring of a local manufacturing plant. And guess what? There's a good old-fashioned Minnesota boy played by Harry Connick Jr. There's some negativity between the two of them, but over time that turns into sparks. And guess what? They probably fall in love, and then they have to decide whether Renee is going to stay in Minnesota or go back to
Minnesota.
She looks
so great at the Golden Globes. Yeah,
she is bizarre with her weird see-through-ish sort of top. I don't get it. Also, February 6th, we've got a handful of movies. We've got the movie Coraline, which is an animated version of a Neil Gaiman story. It could be interesting in the realm of Nightmare Before Christmas. We've got the long-delayed movie He's Just Not That Into You. Starring a whole handful of people.
So why is that delayed so long?
I don't know.
I thought it was strategically put out somewhat before Valentine's Day.
It may be, but I think it could have come out last year, Valentine's Day. Usually when that happens, it's not a great movie. I love the commercials for that because they're talking about this new thing called MySpace.
Yeah.
People don't care about anymore.
I've done MySpace now, or Facebook. That is old.
It is old. I just finished this gentleman's autobiography on his stand-up routine. It's Steve Martin, and he's got the Pink Panther 2 for people that have been crying for more Pink Panther.
Looks just dumb.
And then we've got a movie called Push, which I didn't write a description for, but it does come out on February 6th. DVD, January 27th. We've got some great, great things. We've got the Mary Poppins 45th Anniversary Edition, because everyone knows that's the best anniversary to cover.
Mm-hmm. Which number?
45th.
What is 45th? That? It's not quite the silver, but it's...
Yeah, it's like...
foil?
Cubic zirconia. We've got Pride and Glory.
Moldy Bread, I believe.
Pride and Glory, which I believe is a movie that starred Robert De Niro.
If you need to work so hard to explain it, don't worry. Yep. Just move along.
And then something that I'm embarrassed to say that we will more than likely be buying for our house, that will be Blossom. Seasons 1, long-awaited Blossom. My wife loves Blossom. There's also a Voltron set coming out on January 27th.
Your wife loves Voltron.
My favorite Blossom memory is the Saturday Night Live when they did a Blossom skit and whoever was playing Six was talking about, you know, having sex for the seventh time and nothing's like having sex for the seventh time.
It was
like balloons for a party.
Their takeoff on a very special Blossom.
Hilarious.
February 3rd, we get the season 2 of Afro Samurai. I believe it's a Cartoon Network or an Adult Swim show. We've got The Secret Life of Bees.
Lounging over here.
Yentl. This is for Adam. Yentl's director's edition. And the movie that some people love, some people hate, that would be Zach and Miri Make a Porno. I have no interest in seeing that movie.
I do.
I want to see it.
I like anything that says porno.
So I can hate it.
There we go.
Love it.
And I love movies with the name Zach in it, too.
That's very true. Who doesn't? And video games for the week of January 25th. I'll be taking the Afro Samurai theme into... The Stratosphere, we've got an Afro Samurai video game. We've got a video game on that Coraline. And also MLB Front Office Manager. So you can manage a baseball team, Al.
I would love that.
On a video game?
On a video game. But you have to have a PlayStation 3 or an Xbox 360.
Maybe in a couple years.
No Wii, right?
No Wii. And because that week of January 25th was so great for video games, nothing of note is coming out the week of February 1st.
I thought that came out last month.
What?
Nothing of note.
Nothing of note. That does happen from time to time. And you can blame whatever you want on that. So that's coming soon, everybody.
Yay!
I don't know if that was as exciting as Adam would read it, but it's been read nonetheless.
Yeah. See, why couldn't you done the news? Then I could just read off titles.
Well, let's make a deal. Next time you're in studio, I will read the news.
There's not going to be a next time.
Adam is
wow.
Adam will always be back.
I will
Al's
be back
banning
as a content. I just sit over here
and press
and
buttons.
That is it.
No, I'm going to call you every time Adam isn't on, and you're just going to get better and better. And
oh,
better.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I sounded like the first show.
Yeah.
So let's wrap up Under the Scope.
Yeah.
Under the Scope. And this is the time when we talk about what other people are talking about when it comes to the scope. Jared, I know we've got a lot of comments, a lot of things happening.
We've got a few. So I wouldn't call it a lot, Shane, but we've got, I mean, some are, you know, maybe they're just not up to par.
Let's bring the energy. What do we got?
Well, I'm going to start off with a voicemail, Shane.
We love it
when we
get
voicemail from a gentleman named Cyrus in Albuquerque.
Albuquerque?
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Wow. Oh. I love that.
John McCain supporter.
He had some nice things to say, like this.
Production quality just can't be beat.
We're going to start over here.
Okay.
It's a little quiet.
Scope Podcast, Jared, Adam, and Shane. This is Cyrus from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm just calling to let you guys know that I love the podcast. The production quality just can't be beat. And that's in no way a sarcastic comment. First heard about you guys during the Metro Buzz Trivoff. Jared and Shane were so funny in those few minutes of combined trivia brain power that I decided to give the Scope a chance.
That's right, you should.
I was greatly rewarded when I found the Scope not only consisted of these two guys, but you had a third and equally funny host, Adam.
Well, you're disappointed by the show.
You are not the worst shoe ever. I know of another. So yeah, long story short,
worst shoe ever.
I've listened to most of your past episodes, and I've loved every single one. Best wishes to the three of you, as well as your numerous guests on the show. I hope you're all having an excellent experience podcasting, and best of wishes into 2009. Can't wait for more Scope. Later, guys. Bye.
Someone is going to be disappointed.
Yeah, we've totally ruined 2009. Buddy. Cyrus, thank you for your terrific, terrific, thoughtful voicemail to us.
Yeah, we just everything that was positive about that the call
gone.
We've ruined by no guests.
Equally third funny member gone.
Yeah,
comedy gone. We did. We couldn't even do a full show. We had to cut out segments because we were so lazy.
Sorry, Cyrus. We let you down. You want to recant your call?
Call
the,
it.
The nice thing is every episode is going to get better in 2009.
Yeah.
That's the nice thing.
We've set the bar
build until the New Year's Eve episode.
I love it.
We're going to go some email comments.
Okay, let's do it.
I'm yawning here.
Jared is bored by himself.
Sean writes in. Subject says, Aqua's Barbie Girl Hype Machine Remix. Hey, I just want to let you guys know, I also caught you guys on the Metro Buzz Triv-Off.
The Triv-Off. Are they calling it a Triv-Off?
Apparently. That's what Jay and Jack called it, the Trivia Triv-Off.
By the way, we won.
Did we win that?
We won. We are the Trivia Masters, thank you.
Just so you know, just remember that. 2008 was conquered by us.
Yeah, we took it.
He's been a fan ever since. Love the show and can't wait for the new World Series of Pop Culture. Keep up the good work. Although, your review of the new Killers album are way off. Yes, I said it.
Well, see,
the problem is he didn't tell us what he thinks of the new Killers album.
And keep in mind, we were very mixed on the new Killers album.
So who was he agreeing with?
I don't know because
we all hate. Well,
that's
some
not
of
true.
Us hated,
I liked it more.
No, we had completely varying degrees. Yeah.
So we demand a follow-up, Sean.
Follow up, Sean.
Your point of view, and then we can trash you.
Sean,
if you're still listening to the show at this point, please send us a follow-up.
Sean, you are awesome if you hated it.
Wow.
I think there's at least three good songs on it, and I stand by it.
Well, I want more than three songs.
This is a world driven by singles, Al. Singles.
Singles, yes. There were a number of comments on the New Year's Eve show. You can go over there if you want to read all the kind of play-by-play stuff that was on there. This is one that I thought was interesting.
Okay, read it for
Keith me. Keith F. writes, great show. You honestly made me feel like I was at the party with you. The background music from Rock Band 2 and all the background conversations made it excellent. Best part was during one of the earlier sessions. Someone in the background, I believe it was a woman, is explaining to one of your guests what your show is. No joke, I believe the exact quote was, you haven't heard their little show? Really? Well, they're actually kind of funny sometimes.
I hope she's not listening to this episode.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I know who said that, but I'm not going to throw out names.
Can you give me an initial?
If I do, it's going to give it away.
Oh, well, you tell me after the show. We don't want to embarrass anybody.
Their little show.
Little show. That really
was kind of funny sometimes.
We could have one of the longest running podcasts on the air, Jared.
We're heading into our fourth year come April.
Fourth year. Who would have thought that?
Only a few episodes away from the big one.
Yeah, the big 60. The big O.
The big, the one. Are you going to make a cake for that, Al? Because I know you love the number so much.
Yeah.
Now you're coming in on the 69th show, aren't you?
Probably.
No, you're definitely coming in on the 69th show. Al gets so down on himself. Jared, let me throw one quick question on to Al. Al, if you were playing Rock Band on New Year's Eve, would you sing an Oasis song?
Yeah, I'd probably sing. Oh, did you buy Rock and Roll Star? Or that's probably the one
I didn't,
you didn't
but I would buy it for you. I would have bought it. If you were here, I would have bought
it for
you.
What are the other tracks?
Live Forever.
No, that song's too sacred. I won't.
Don't. I sing it.
One.
I think I do a good job on it.
Don't buy me then.
Don't Look Back in Anger and Wonderwall.
I'll have a few bevvies and see what happens.
Okay. He's going to have a few bevvies.
Okay.
No, the cheers.
Cheers, mate. Let's sing some Oasis.
And Jared sings all the Go-Go songs, by the way. And I don't know if you do
we
or not.
Got the beat. We got the beat.
What's that?
What do you think about them?
We got it. Anyway,
Jared, go ahead.
If you want to comment, you can write us an email at comments@thescopeshow.
Or not, because I'm on the show.
Drop down to the website at thescopeshow.com, comment on the blog. You can call our voicemail line at 646-495-9201, extension 70055. You can also join our Facebook group for fun and profit.
It's growing, Jared.
It is. Well, it's kind of slowed down a little bit, but I need to get another discussion topic up there.
If you want to get rejected as a Facebook friend, you can find Al on Jared's Facebook page, and I will reject you if I don't know you.
He'll just ignore you. Won't reject you.
Make sure you write
You won't know that you've been rejected.
If you write scope or something in the request, I'll probably add you then.
Very nice. I might have to do
that.
It's funny. I'll add people from Friends of the Scope, but I won't, like, people I was friends for, like, 15 years.
Because these new people haven't wronged you yet.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, so that's how it is. Yeah. Those people in the past, they're
you haven't wronged
they're
them.
Dead to you.
Yeah.
Anything in the past, Al just does never, he never looks back. He's always looking forward.
Shane, I've got an update on iTunes review count.
I was just going to ask you about that.
We said we had a stated goal of reaching 20, and we are closer. I believe we were at 13 the last show, and now we are up to 16.
Wow.
So thank
Al,
you.
Have you written a review yet?
If I've co-hosted or fake hosted one time, that's kind of cheesy. You guys don't
review
for
you have to
own.
Kind of recuse yourself.
Oh, jeez. I'm thinking about writing a review to get that.
Now, if my wife or somebody writes a review, even though she's only sat in on that step over there one time for the show, that's her
she's
listening
scared of
extent.
Microphones.
That's true. Yeah, so, if you have the wherewithal and the interest in giving us a review, that'd be great. Just search for us in the iTunes Music Store and write your comments on there.
We know that we have more than 20 regular listeners.
Yeah.
We know that for sure.
Not everyone uses iTunes. Not everyone has an iTunes account. You need to have an iTunes account to do it. But, I mean, it's free. You don't have to buy anything. You just have the iTunes account.
Let's aim for a goal of at least one more review in the next 2 weeks on iTunes. Okay. That's all right. Somebody step up.
We're marching to 20 in baby steps.
If we can get to 20 on the 69th show, who knows what's going to happen. That could be a very magical moment.
That would be hot. That's what that would be. That'd be hot.
I'm not going to promise anything's so going to happen on that show, but I'm winking into the microphone right now.
It's going to be tight, yo.
Exactly. That's all I'll say.
I'll come up with a good topic for that show. I might not sit in. But
okay, yeah. If you want to give us a topic for that show, we'll take outside topics. There's no doubt about it.
We'll have some kind of list.
Okay.
You know I'm a list guy.
I'd also like to say that the donation button remains active on the website. Nobody's clicked on it yet, but
I think it's getting...
It's still there.
It's getting rusted over from the misuse or unuse.
I do need to go and sand it down and put a new coat of polyurethane.
Will you prime it first?
I'll prime it first. Okay. And we'll get it prepared for spring showers.
So next show, Jared.
Yes,
we have got a game planned.
We do.
So Al, if you want to sit down on that, if Adam's not going to be here, you might have to come in for the game because we do need two people for the game. I've actually started working on it, and it's pretty much ready to go.
After my political talk today, I'd rather have something on Star Wars. I think.
Well, this is not Star Wars, but this will be a celebrity-driven game.
I'm going to fail. Utterly.
It's going to be good. Well, you know what? If you ask the right questions, you just might do well. That's all I'm going to say, but it's going to be big, and I promise.
I'm assuming every answer is Meredith Baxter
Burney.
Meredith Baxter Burney!
Or if you don't ask certain questions for people, then you can make it so they don't win.
There we go.
This sounds intriguing, Shane. I can't wait for the next show.
It's very intriguing, and I'm going to promise it's going to be a serious free, not satellite radio, but serious as an attitude.
Yeah.
It's going to be politics free.
Are you saying I have to wait 2 weeks for this, though?
Yes.
Damn.
And just like every other show, it will be laugh-free.
Laugh-free.
That I can promise. We can do that.
We are promising. We're actually reducing the level of comedy in 2009. We used up our allotment in 2008 way too early, and we just need to be careful.
Can I ask one question?
Sure.
What are we replacing it with?
Serious commentary, Shane.
Oh.
What else?
I got a hunch that this might be our last year. So anyway, for Jared, special guest Al, and myself, this is Shane. Saying thanks for listening to episode 65. We'll see you in 2 weeks
at the movies.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
646-495-9201, extension 70055.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying,
buenos dias.
Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.